In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thank you so much for joining us. Happy Friday, Brian.
Yay, happy Friday, Brett.
Tag team episode this week. Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. I cover tech. My favorite wrestling tag team of all time. It's actually a tie between the Midnight Express and the Hart Foundation. Rest in peace, Jim the Anvil.
For sure. And I'm Brian Truitt. I'm a film critic, and my favorite wrestling tag team of all time is the Road Warriors. Although Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard are a close second, and me and you are like third, I think.
Agreed, 100%. Although I don't know if I could take a back bump right now. If this is your first time listening to The Mothership, welcome. New episodes come out every Friday, and you could subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen to podcasts. If you happen to be on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could write us a quick review about the show. By doing that, you can help other people who love nerdy pop culture find the show. And as a bonus, we will give you a very special shout-out on our next episode, or maybe in this case, this episode, because we have not one but two reviews this week that very kind listeners have sent us. So I'm going to read them right now. First is one from Enox11, who writes, "Really enjoy this podcast. It's a nice 30-minute quick fix to listen in on each Friday. Good discussion, helps me wind down for the weekend, and feeds my nerdy side just enough without overloading me on news." Thank you so very much. Our second is from Dog Talk. "I enjoy the interplay between the co-hosts, and the topics are always on point. With most of my favorite podcasts going 1 to 2 and even 3 hours, it's nice to find a quality podcast where I can get in and get out around 30 minutes. Thank you so much. Don't be a stranger. Tell us what you want to hear from the show. Don't forget, too, along with leaving us a review, you can also get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at MothershipPod. You can also email us at MothershipPod@USAtoday.com. This week, we're talking about wrestling. It's a big weekend for sports entertainment with SummerSlam on Sunday. We have the new Mark Wahlberg action movie Mile 22, which stars WWE rookie Ronda Rousey. We're going to talk about wrestling, why we love it so much, why you should too. And first, why don't you grapple with this clip?
I'm excited. Aren't you excited?
My costume still smells like beer and racism.
Was I supposed to wash these? Did you have a good break?
Yeah.
She's getting divorced. It's complicated.
Usually you do a lot better job of keeping your weird friendship stuff out of the ring.
Just hope she can keep up.
You're on that show, right? Glow, welfare queen.
What'd you call my mom?
It's a wrestling show. I'm not the only offensive character. Everyone's offensive.
We have fans. I mean, the girls get letters. There's weirdos waiting outside for them.
Wait.
You're my favorite.
I can see that.
That was from Glow, the 1980s era Netflix dramedy about female pro wrestlers, which might be a lot of people's introduction to pro wrestling. One guy who's pretty much an expert on the subject, though, is today's special guest, Aubrey Sitterson. He hosted the Straight Shoot Wrestling Podcast. He's also one half of the tag team with artist Chris Moreno behind the upcoming Comic Book History of Professional Wrestling, which is on sale October 2nd. If you want to check out an exclusive preview of some of those pages, head to life.usatoday.com. You can take a look at the article there and get a sneak peek at their take on the formation of the New World Order, the formula behind the success of Extreme Championship Wrestling, ECW, and the infamous Montreal Screwjob, which I'm still not over, involving Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. Aubrey, thanks so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, fellas. I'm excited.
All right, so tell us a little bit about your own history with wrestling. What first got you hooked?
Like a lot of people, I watched wrestling as a kid. You know, I grew up in Richmond, Virginia, and that's, you know, that old mid-Atlantic Jim Crockett territory, right? But it was still a strong kind of wrestling tradition there. But what really got me to dive in headfirst and to go all in with wrestling was actually when I was working at Marvel Comics. I was an editor at Marvel. And I kind of quickly realized that it wasn't super healthy for me to work on comics all day and then go home, realistically go out to a bar and then talk about comics with people and then go home and read more comics. Like I needed I need something else to kind of ruminate on. And I stumbled across wrestling one night. Eddie Guerrero and Batista. Guerrero was trying to trick Batista into getting a proctology exam. But, like, Batista had turned the tables on him. And so now Eddie was going to have to get the proctology exam. And I thought, oh, this is perfect. And from there, I kind of rekindled that love for it and got way deeper in it than I'd ever been as a kid, and led to me working at WWE and then working on the WWE games at both THQ and 2K.
Oh,
and
wow.
Eventually this book that we got coming out in a couple months.
So tell us about the book. I mean, why did you take this approach in telling pro wrestling's history?
I was approached by Patrick Barb, who's my editor at 10 Speed Press, and they have a line of books, the comic book story of blank, and they had done beer and video games, and baseball has since come out, and they decided, you know, correctly that they needed to do one of these things for wrestling, and it's a really perfect marriage of format and content because, you know, the obvious comparisons between wrestling and comics that people always make is, you know, these are live action superheroes and, you know, it's morality plays and good guys versus bad guys and all that stuff is true. But I don't think necessarily the reason I think that comics is the perfect place to explore wrestling and wrestling history is that so much of wrestling is rooted in the visual. And, you know, the old saying is a picture tells 1,000 words, and all those 1,000 words would add up. And you'd have an encyclopedia set to describe what the brilliant Chris Moreno and our colorists, Jay Moreno, Len O'Grady, Brad Simpson, Alan Pasalacqua, what they did in, you know, simple single images would have taken so much more space and time to do in text. It's a way to actually show people what's great about wrestling instead of just telling them.
Well, and it's interesting too, because you go back to the, you know, the Carney days where it all started. And one of my favorite things is kind of the map of the country. And Chris's art kind of shows all the different territories. Wrestling was different in every territory, and they each had their own kind of separate things of characters, and they would pass champions back and forth and everything.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that spread, it's one of my favorite things in the book too. And it's one of those things where, like, in the earliest stages of the book, I knew that we needed to do that map, right? To show just to explain how the wrestling territories worked, because it's so different from how wrestling is now.
All right, so let's do a quick around the room. We'll start with Aubrey. Why is it that you love wrestling?
One, the athletic displays and how impressive that is, and kind of getting to rejoice and revel in athletic physical accomplishment, but also the drama that comes from watching a really good baseball game, right? The problem though is that when you're watching legitimate sports, that drama only happens kind of by chance, and sometimes it doesn't happen at all. Sometimes it's just a blowout and there's no story there. Wrestling is a sport that has all of the athletic prowess and impressive displays of any other sport, maybe more so in certain cases, but it's a sport where the drama is baked into it, and it's engineered from the ground up to make you feel this entire spectrum of emotions that can happen with a good Super Bowl game, but doesn't always.
So, Brian, why do you love wrestling?
It mimics life a lot. You know, kind of you think of like the Vince McMahon Stone Cold feud. And who wouldn't want to go visit their boss in the hospital and hit him upside the head with a bedpan? You know, at once in their life. You know, it's just kind of fun to watch. Because, again, it doesn't matter who wins or not. It matters the story and kind of like where it goes and is the bad guy going to win? Is a good guy going to win? And it's so much of life is kind of within that kind of like weird carny storylines and stuff.
I think, yeah, for me as a kid, I think the big reason, and this gets to why I love wrestling, is the way these guys carry themselves. They feel like they're larger in life. Like, we talk a lot about them as being entertainers and, you know, and athletes, but there's like this gladiator element to them too. It's like when you see them on your screen, like heading to the ring and stuff, there's this just almost, you know, invincibility kind of thing to them, you know? Like, I remember when I was a kid, like, when I didn't have cable at the time, but I would watch wrestling like on Saturdays. And so you might see Hulk Hogan pop in here and there. But then when you finally got to see him wrestle and you heard the music and you saw him walking down, it was like, holy crap. Like, you know, you felt like you were seeing someone larger than anything on earth, you know, walking toward you. It was just amazing.
Well, and so much of wrestling is the entrances, because you think of like how many people are like getting beat down and you hear the glass break and Stone Cold kind of like starts stomping out and just starts beating people up. Or the Undertaker just kind of like coming out of nowhere. So much of like it is surprise and entrances and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I think it's a real strength of wrestling is that the medium is keenly aware of every aspect of performance. Right. And there are sports stars who have taken a lot from wrestling, especially in boxing. Right. Or MMA. Right. You can think about going back to Muhammad Ali or currently Conor McGregor. Wrestling, however, controls every aspect of this. And so, you know, they decide before you see the wrestler how they want you to feel about the wrestler. And then they engineer the gimmick and the music and what they're wearing and how they walk to the ring around giving you exactly how to feel about this wrestler and what they're going to do in the ring. It's to get all high-minded about it, it's a Gesamtkunstwerk, right? Like, it's a complete work of art, the construction of a wrestling gimmick.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. So Aubrey, what do you think, as far as non-fans of wrestling, what is something you think they don't realize about wrestling that may be deterring them from wanting to watch a match?
I think a lot of folks equate wrestling to WWE. But what I wish people would realize, and I think would help more people get into wrestling, is that there are so many promotions doing different stuff from WWE. And I like to explain wrestling as existing on, you know, individual promotions as existing on the spectrum, right? From like the super realistic, right? Like the shoot fight organizations like UWF and stuff like that. All the way over to the completely outlandish, like your Chikara and Kaiju Big Battle and stuff like that. And WWE kind of occupies that meaty center area, but there are promotions all along the spectrum, and you can find exactly what you're looking for without having to, you know, deal with WWE. And I think a lot of people do just deal with WWE. If you look at like the conversations around WWE and like the weekly programming, it sounds like something people suffer through, which I think can be off-putting to new fans, because you think, well, all I ever see is people complaining about Roman Reigns. Why on earth would I want to watch WWE? And the answer is, you don't have to. There are so many other wrestling promotions, especially local ones, that you can go to for, I don't know, like 15, 20 bucks, maybe even less in some areas, and go check out.
Yeah. Brian, what about you? What do you think?
There's one thing, and I think it's always kind of been around this. I think it's less so now than it was probably when we were growing up. But I mean, kind of there was always a mindset that wrestling's stupid and fake. And, you know, my mom, for like the longest time, would see me watching wrestling, you know, even as an adult, and be like, you know, you're ruining your brain cells watching this. Just like, whatever, mom, come on. But I think there's, I mean,
look at
it's
it,
a
look
lot
at you
smart-
now. You showed her, huh?
Exactly. But it's a lot, but it's a lot smarter and more clever than anybody ever realized. I mean, if people really kind of like understood that it's just soap opera, that it's just like, you know, kind of storylines, big over-the-top characters, you know, there might be a lot more punching and kicking involved than like your random, you know, episode of The Bachelor or something. But it's the same thing. It's just kind of like, you know, this visceral drama and, you know, and just betrayal and tragedy and comedy and everything kind of like you'd ever see on a theatrical stage.
I mean, you know, I think everyone knows now that it's scripted. I think the big thing that a lot of non-fans don't realize is, you know, it's not just guys kind of faux beating the crap out of each other. There's so many layers to it, I think, that people forget and don't realize until they actually watch a match and see what's going on. I mean, it's like a soap opera for
I mean, it's a dance. It's ballet. So much is there. And I feel like, you know, not only dudes, but like, I think women, a lot of women kind of watch it because if you've never seen it before, you're like, I don't even understand what's going on because you don't know the characters. It's just like it's watching like Bold and the Beautiful. It's like start putting on Bold and the Beautiful one day and just like I have no idea what's kind of going on. But if you stick with it and you start to understand who the characters are, what their agenda is, what their intentions are, who their friends are, who their foes are, it makes more sense. And, you know, everything starts to make sense. And then, you know, kind of and then you get into the physicality of it. It's just like, yeah, I want him to beat the hell out of that guy because he deserves it. You know, he did this thing to this guy like, you know, 2 weeks ago.
I know the big, obviously, the one of the big myths that's kind of been addressed, you know, recently is the whole concept of wrestling is fake and all that stuff. Aubrey, do you think there are any other myths or misconceptions that are still out there that you think need to be busted when it comes to wrestling?
Yeah. You know, this is, I think a lot of people try and talk about professional wrestling in the same way that they would television or comics or film or novels or something, or soap operas or anything like that. And I think that that's, I think it's a mistake, because wrestling is a really unique art form, and it's similar to all these things, but the way that it actually works and it operates has a lot more in common with a con game than it does any of these storytelling mediums, right? And what I mean by that is that the entirety of wrestling is predicated on getting you to go along with a lie, more so even than watching a soap opera. Because at the end of the day, you watch a soap opera and you know that these are all actors, and you care about it in terms of the story that's being told, but you don't get the visceral reaction that people do towards wrestling. And wrestling accomplishes that. Wrestling's designed to work differently. It's designed, it's not supposed to give you satisfying character development. It's not setting out to give you a satisfying, conclusive story with a beginning, middle, and an end, because wrestling doesn't have an end. Wrestling's only goal is to get you to tune in next week and shell out money for a ticket and hopefully a t-shirt as well. And so the entire enterprise is designed to work differently. And so when people try and apply metrics from other mediums to wrestlings, they are almost invariably disappointed.
Brian, do you see any kind of misconceptions still out there that you think need to be broken up or need to be clarified?
No, I mean, I think Aubrey hit it on the head. I think it's just a matter of you know, I think people have preconceptions about it. I think people, you know, it's not what you think it is. If you try, I mean, I think a lot of people watch GLOW, and I think people, you know, watch GLOW, and they really didn't know what it was. And GLOW does a really good job of explaining what wrestling is. And I was really impressed by that. And I feel like, you know, people who like that, it's just like, who understand wrestling a bit more, that it you know, kind of, there's a scripted factor, but everything, every character does matters in an interesting way. I think that's an entryway into people, for people.
Mm-hmm. Now, talking about GLOW, you've seen women's wrestling really move.
I watched GLOW and POW when I was a kid.
Same.
In the 80s, on like channel 66, I could hardly see it. It was like a UHF channel. It was like all this kind of like static and everything. So I could make out who people were and everything. But I watched it.
I still remember that intro too. I still remember the intro of the show every time.
They introduced themselves, which was the greatest thing.
Yeah, and they did a song and dance, basically, talking about we're the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. I think it was a rap. I don't even remember. Like, all the shows had, you know, they just had the generic kind of intro, nothing crazy. With GLOW, they had all the wrestlers in the ring. I think they even had the refs, and they basically sang for like a minute, and they introduced themselves, so you knew who everybody was ahead of time, and then they got into the matches, and it was great. And it was, but they treated it like real wrestling, which was cool. It wasn't like, it was obviously, you know, in the Attitude Era, it was all about being scantily clad and all that stuff. Like, they treated it like legit wrestling, which was cool. Now, talking about GLOW, we've seen women's wrestling really move further and further to the forefront in recent years. So Aubrey, what do you think led to the whole, this resurgence in women's wrestling and the increased attention to it?
You know, it's an interesting thing, because I think that there hasn't been a resurgence in women's wrestling, because I don't think women's wrestling has ever gone anywhere. Like, it hasn't been as close to the forefront in WWE, but going back to the territory days, you know, you had Fabulous Moolah and you had Mildred Burke, and they would oftentimes, in the 40s and 50s, into the 60s, they would draw huge crowds, but they wouldn't be allowed to wrestle on the same card that the NWA heavyweight title was being defended, right? Because the thought was that having women wrestle, it devalued the title. But women's wrestling's always been around. In the 80s and 90s in Japan, Joshi wrestling was bigger than men's wrestling a lot of times. And in America, there's been a thriving independent women's wrestling scene for years. And TNA, the Knockouts, were doing amazing high caliber matches when WWE was still doing a lot of like bra and panties matches with their divas, right? So yeah, there's more attention on it now because WWE has kind of turned their eye to it. Truthfully, I think the reason behind that is because WWE realized that they could make money off of it. As far as like there is the effects of the patriarchy and male chauvinism on everything in our culture, sure, but I don't think there was ever like a concerted effort, like outside of more recently, you know, WWE and these mainline wrestling promotions, they did what they thought was going to make the most money. And at the time, they thought what was going to make the most money was having Sable show up wearing barely nothing on TV during the Attitude Era. And it did really well for them. But as their audience has diversified and they've realized that they have this huge contingent of female fans, and also that, you know, there's this logic that it was bad logic, I think, but there's this idea that men would only watch women wrestlers if they were sexually attracted to them, and WWE is now moving away from that, which is a great thing. But I think it has 100% everything to do with the fact that they realized there was money on the table that they weren't touching.
Yeah, for sure.
So why now, in this era where there's so many other things that can get our attention, why is wrestling worth our time? Aubrey, I'll start with you.
You know, wrestling is a super cynical industry and medium, right? It's all about just getting you to drop your money down each and every week. But by embracing that and by acknowledging that, it's also kind of a more honest medium, which I think highlights the dichotomy of what wrestling is and this kind of inherent contradiction, because the whole thing is built on deception, right? And acknowledging that some things are fake, but then maintaining that some of it's still real, even though it's probably not, right? One of my favorite current examples of that is the hardest part of the ring, right? Which people say, it happens in every promotion now. Like, if anybody does a move on the apron, they say, oh, that's the hardest part of the ring, right? As a way of, like, putting over a really vicious move. If you've ever been in a wrestling ring, you know that's not true. The whole thing, it's pretty uniform throughout the whole thing. It's like that.
It's all pretty hard. Yeah,
man. Like, that part's not made of concrete, right? Like, it's made of the same stuff as the rest of the ring. It's a Russian nesting doll, layers of deception, and it makes wrestling so fascinating and important right now because, you know, what's going on with us culturally, and not trying to get super political, but it's a thing that pervades everything, right? It's the age of fake news. It's the age of a reality star president, right? It's an age when traditional authorities, right, media and newspapers that we used to just take for granted as being correct and accurate, they're now being questioned.
So, Brian, you're still watching wrestling now, too.
Oh, yeah. ever since college, I haven't stopped again.
Why do you think it's still worth our time?
Like Aubrey just said, I think it does reflect us culturally. But it's still, you know, it's still a place, escapism, and still a place where you can find, you know, that kind of that age old struggle.
So let's say you have someone that wants to watch pro wrestling for the first time. Aubrey, where would you have them start off?
Their local promotion. Find a local promotion, grab a beer or six, if that's what you're into, go to it and scream your fool head off. Truthfully, wrestling is meant to be enjoyed live. And if you've ever been to a live wrestling show, you know that it's so much easier to get invested. It's so much easier to feel something. And wrestling's meant to be enjoyed live. And that's the absolute best place to start.
Yeah, live wrestling is so good. It's so very good.
I still remember going to an ECW show in the 90s. And I was five feet away from the ring. Tommy Dreamer hit me in the head with a beer can. It was like one of the greatest nights of my life. And it was just so great. But it's just like, that's how you get hooked. Another thing you can do is go to YouTube. Go look at, you know, old NWA matches, you know, figure out who your favorite wrestler might be, and then just go in a black hole YouTube dive. Also, NXT. NXT is the closest thing you have now to a territory system. Even though it's owned by WWE, it's kind of run like a territory where they just kind of
And it's also, here's the other crucial thing about NXT. It's only an hour a week.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're watching Raw, that's 3 hours of your life every week. And that's a big ask for people. NXT's only an hour. And man, pick any episode, whatever's on right this second, start watching that. And if you like it, great. If you don't, find another thing.
All right, I think we're going to wrap it up here. Listeners, it is your turn. Do you love wrestling? Who is your favorite wrestler, tag team? Any of them. Who's the best? Who's your favorite? Let us know on Twitter. You can hit us up at Mothership Pod. You can also tweet at us directly. I'm at Brett Molina 23.
I'm at Brian Truitt.
And Aubrey, what's your Twitter handle?
I'm at Aubrey Sitterson. AubreySitterson.
Let us all know what you think. Don't forget, too, you can email us. We're at mothershippod@usatoday.com. We're going to wrap it up here. Thanks so much for joining us. Special thanks to pilot/producer of The Mothership this week, Shannon Green. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to The Mothership for free on Apple Podcasts. While you're there, you can leave us a rating or a review. It helps other people find the podcast. And we're not saying we're going to put you in a headlock if you don't leave us a review, but...
Why chance it?
I know. Yeah, seriously. If you don't use Apple Podcasts, there are plenty of other places to listen to us, Stitcher, SoundCloud, any app that plays a podcast, you'll find us. Thanks for joining us. until next week. Nerds out.